And now it's time for On Our Minds. This week we're thinking about Barbara Ehrenreich's new book, Living with a Wild God. It's the story of a mystical experience she had more than 50 years ago when she was just 17. And the thing is, Ehrenreich has always considered herself an atheist. So as Steve Paulson discovered, this is really a story about how a lifelong atheist has tried to make sense of an experience she can't explain.
Barbara, you've spent most of your career writing about problems of class and gender and inequality, and this was after you got a PhD in cell biology. And I think anyone who's followed your career would have pegged you as a very secular and rationalist thinker, probably someone hostile to religion. And yet now you've written a book about mystical experience. Did you feel like you had to come out of the closet to talk about these experiences you had many years ago?
Oh, yes. These are things I never talked about. These could be interpreted as signs of mental illness. So it was better not to say anything to anybody.
So you didn't even talk about this with your family?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? The last people I would talk about. No, my parents were very dogmatic atheists. I'm an atheist also, slightly less intolerant one. But they would have mocked me, I'm sure.
And then later on, after you came of age, I mean, there were decades when you presumably were mulling over all of this. Were you worried that you were going to get laughed at if you talked about this mystical experience you had back when you were a kid?
Well, laughed at or diagnosed, you know, patronized in some way at worst, institutionalized. I didn't have good words for it. I won't use terms like spirituality. That's a fairly empty word, and it pretty much creeps me out. So I didn't want to fall back on that. And I certainly was not going to call it an encounter with God. You know, that just didn't enter my mind.
Okay. So take me back to your adolescence when you started having these very unusual experiences. How old were you when they started?
I guess it all started when I was 13 and decided that my mission in life was to find out the truth about everything. Why are we here? What's the purpose of this? What's going on in this universe? And I thought I was the only one who would ever ask these questions. Now, I don't think any of this is unique to me or even that unusual. But starting when I was about 13, there would be these moments when suddenly a layer would seem to peel off the world. The layer that contains all the words, the language, the meanings, the human significance, that would go away. It seemed like I was seeing things, quote, as they were.
Well, then, skipping ahead a few years, this stayed with you, this sort of response to the world. And then when you were 17, you had a big experience, a mind-blowing experience. Can you set the stage for what happened?
Yes, and I should say that the phrase I finally learned to describe such an experience is, quote, a mystical experience. And it started, well, in a skiing trip. I was with my little brother and a high school friend. We drove from Los Angeles up to Mammoth Mountain. We spent the night in the car in the town of Lone Pine, California. I woke up a little before dawn and started walking around. And I think maybe it's better to read a little passage here from the book.
If you could, yeah, because I know you spent a long time thinking about how to describe this in words. So, yes, if you could read about
yeah.
this.
So in the next few minutes on that empty street, I found whatever I'd been looking for since the articulation of my quest. Here we leave the jurisdiction of language. But there is one image handed down over the centuries that seems to apply, and that is the image of fire, as in the burning bush. At some point in my pre-dawn walk, the world flamed into life. How else to describe it? There were no visions, no prophetic voices, just this blazing everywhere. Something poured into me, and I poured out into it. This was not the passive, beatific merger with the all, as promised by the Eastern mystics. It was a furious encounter with a living substance, and one reason for the terrible wordlessness of the experience is that you cannot observe fire really closely without becoming part of it. I stopped at some point in front of a secondhand store, transfixed by the blinding glow of the most mundane objects, teacups and toasters. I could not contain it, this onrush. Everywhere, inside and out, the only condition was overflow. Ecstasy would be the word for this, but only if you're willing to acknowledge that ecstasy does not occupy the same spectrum as happiness or euphoria, that it participates in the anguish of loss and can resemble an outbreak of violence.
And you go on to describe this as if you'd been savaged by a flock of invisible angels, lifted up in a glorious flutter of iridescent feathers, then mauled, emptied of all intent and purpose, and pretty much left for dead. I mean, it sounds like a shattering experience.
It was shattering. It was hard to think about. And the journal that I had kept when I was a teenager is very evasive about this. At one point, I'll say, I can't go on. I can't go on. I have nothing left to do in this world. Everything is now ugly and empty for me. And at another point, I'd be saying, I want that to happen again. I want to get back there.
And you describe this as an encounter with a living presence. What made you think that?
It felt like there was something there. Now, I didn't think that was a very sane conclusion. So I decided to go with the more conventional type of explanation that I'd had some sort of little mental breakdown, and it wasn't even worth mentioning to anybody.
So that's the way you had sort of written it off in as you constructed the narrative of your own life. Okay, I kind of had this little psychotic breakdown. Didn't last long, but let's forget about it. Let's move on.
That's right. Not until middle age did I begin to return to this and find myself asking over and over again, maybe there was a kind of encounter. Maybe I should explore that strange possibility a little more.
So why? Why did you conclude that all these years later?
Well, I didn't fully conclude it, but it began to inform other work I was doing. For example, what I was learning about the history of religion. So much of religion had begun with experiences that seemed to be not unlike mine, of being thrilling and terrifying, that were overwhelming.
Now, the fascinating thing to me as I read about your story is that you still call yourself an atheist, even though you're describing this really powerful mystical experience.
Yeah, and I guess this is a good test of my atheism, right? The other thing about atheism here is if I had any sense of an encounter, it was not an encounter with anything good or benevolent.
But I think there's a more common understanding of atheism. I guess what a lay understanding is it's an atheist is someone who doesn't believe there's any non-material dimension to reality. There are no otherworldly beings, nothing supernatural. That's not your definition of atheism.
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think it would be a big mistake and has been a big mistake for science to rule out the existence of non-human consciousness and will and agency in this world and perhaps in the universe.
You're really saying it's time for science to open up and it's time for kind of theories of knowledge to expand, that we've become much too narrow in our culture.
Well, yes. And what I say to people now that I've written a book and come out, I understand that a lot of people have these experiences. They never talk about them in most cases, probably for the same reasons I didn't. But if something like this should occur to you and you see sort of this magnificent, transcendent presence, do not fall on your knees. Remain alert. Take notes. There's not any reason to revere or be in awe of something so strange. There's a reason to investigate. There's also the whole New Age movement tends to sort of suck these things up for itself and claim them for itself.
And you're kind of allergic to anything New Age or even talk of spirituality.
Yes, that's right. I want to keep it rational. That's
but it's not rational. The whole thing you've just been talking about is not rational.
Yes, it is. Let's not drop our rationality when we confront the bizarre or the weird. Let's keep right on thinking.
Barbara Ehrenreich is the author of Living with a Wild God. And that interview is part of a longer conversation she and Steve had about atheism and the limits of materialism. You can hear the whole thing on our website at ttbook.org.